The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Shayuday, the Tailway, Northwest London, Tesvav Av Tovshin Pei, Wednesday, 5th of August, Rabbi David Eisenberg, Shiduchim, what can you hide and what must you say? Okay. Good morning, all. Thank you very much for those of you who are joining us, whether it is via Zoom, whether it is via Kol HaLashon this morning. I'm on holiday, but Dudi did ask me to give the shiur today, especially for to the Av. So thank you very much for the fact that you've all come together. I'm here in Gateshead, and I'm wishing you all, hope whoever is on holiday already has a good holiday, and anybody else who will be in Mitzvah Shem going on holiday should have a good holiday. Okay, the Tesvav Av. We have an interesting and a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Lehayu yomim tainu liyisrael ke yom kippurim and ke tu ba'av." There were no greater yomim tainu to Klai Yisrael than Yom Kippur and tu ba'av. Why? So Yom Kippur is obvious. Yom Kippur was the day of Kapara. The Gemara in Mishnah first in Tainus, and then the Gemara is on Daf Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara says what happened is the Nos Yisrael used to go out, the Kalim, Sheulim, Nos Yisrael used to go out, they used to borrow Kalim, and they used to go out, the Cholis, the Kromim, they used to go into the vineyard, Zomohi, or Omer, they used to say, Bocher, Sa'i Necho, lift up your eyes, or Eimata Barucho, look what you are going to choose for yourself. Al Titein Necho Benoi, don't put your eyes into the beauty, Titein Necho Benishbocha. Look at the family that you're marrying into. Sheka chayin vehevel ayoyfi isha yas Hashem hitis halo. That chayin and yoyfi, beauty and chayin, they're sheka, they're just lie, they're not real. They're not the real things that make a person. The Gemara then on Lamed Aleph tells us, miyuchosu shebayan oyu oymreis. The miyuchosu used to say, bochasein echotan rabonon, the Braisa says. Yefeifir Shavuahem, the beautiful ones, Mahal Yoimers, used to say Tnun Echem Yoifi. They did say Tnun Echem Yoifi. Shani Ishala Yoifi. What beautiful woman is a very good thing. Mu Choshe Shavuahem, if they had Yichus, Mahal Yoimers, what did they used to say? Tnun Echem Mishpacha. Look at the Mishpacha that you're going to marry. What a great thing. You're going to marry to such and such a family. Levishain Ishala Labonim, because a woman is going to help you create the children that you have. And therefore, the yichud that they have and her DNA and her spiritual DNA is going to help you also develop into something very special, or your children develop into something special. Mechu orois. What about the ones that were less than pretty? Let's call it that. Ma'ayu orois. Kichu mikchem l'shem shamayim. And get married l'shem shamayim. Uvevad shetadrunu bezuvim, as long as you take care of us, meaning you give us tachshitim, a mitzvah amo that says, setitlon ma'lishon noim, it doesn't mean tachshitim specifically. It means that you should dress us, you should clothe us, you should take care of us well anyway. So that's what the Gemara tells us. That each one of them, but what was interesting to me is that nobody stood up and said, everybody is good. Everybody has yichus. Everybody has money. Everybody is beautiful. The Gemara Taka says, the beautiful ones were able to say that they were beautiful. The ones that weren't beautiful didn't have such a time. They'll have to say something else. The ones that had yichus might not be beautiful. They will say, look at our yichus. Look how wonderful we are because of the yichus. But again, that was all they could do. They could give the yichus, but they couldn't give more than that. There wasn't any lying going on over here. What was going on is that everybody used to give their very basic report of who they were or what they were. Now, there's a story that they tell. I don't know if the story is true, but it's definitely, as they say, apocryphal. It definitely gives us a story of what goes on. There was an individual who had a daughter, and he wanted to marry that daughter off, or whether it was a daughter or a son is really irrelevant. You can tell the story anyway. He wanted to marry them off to the right kind of shidduch. The shidduch that came from the right kind of mishpacha with a lot of money, and then I went away in the summer to the Swiss Alps, and for Pesach, I went away to some kind of hotel in America. And they used to go away every year to one of these very fancy localities. And the daughter or the wife used to say, what are we doing? We can't afford to do this. Why are we spending so much money? Why? And they used to say, just wait, when our daughter gets engaged and gets married to the right kind of a family, it will all have paid off. And they racked up tremendous amounts of debt in creating this persona that they were this wealthy family, that they were the family that had all this money. He had tens of thousands of pounds on credit cards and in personal debt and finance, et cetera, et cetera. But Lemaisa, the day came and the daughter was about to go into Shidduchim, and she's found a boy from a similar family, a family that had always been going to these hotels, a wealthy family that she was able to marry, and finally she got married, and the husband looked at the wife and says, oh, she'll be taken care of now forever. It was all Kedai. It was certainly Kedai that we did this, only to find out that his Mechutna had done exactly the same thing. He also wanted to marry a money Shidduch. So the Mechutna also went tens of thousands of pounds into debt and also used to go to all the hotels and everything in order to make believe that he was this wealthy individual. And now the Mechutna didn't have the money and this Mechutna didn't have the money and the two of them got together that way and everybody was just left with the debt. So many times we try to create a personality that we're not, try to show ourselves off as something that we aren't, and instead of doing that, you have to realize, you know, the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Rebbeinu Shalom is Mezavik Zivugim. So you have to take that into perspective. The next thing that I would say, and I think this is a very important introduction, as an introductory remark in what we're going to get into, is that my children are not old enough yet to be in Shidduchim. So I don't know what it means to have the pain of having a child at home and not being able to marry the child off. And so 20 and 21 and 22 and 24 and 28 and 30, I cannot imagine the pain. I know from you know, just a little bit that I know with my children, I would want people, I think my children are wonderful. We all think our own children are wonderful. And I would want somebody else to think that my child is wonderful as well and would want to marry them and share their life with them. And for me to then be stuck in a situation where my child, Poshet, cannot get married to anybody, and there's not one single individual, there's not a man or there's not a woman out there that wants to marry my sons or my daughters, I cannot understand, I cannot even underscore to you what that pain must feel like. And so therefore, if I sound less than sympathetic to those people that have children who are going through a hard time in Shidduchim, trust me, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic to you. But what I feel sometimes happens in Shidduchim, which is a very important issue, what we're going to discuss today is information in Shidduchim, what you can say and what you can hide. It's very, very complicated. And therefore, if I don't sound sympathetic to one side or to the other side, I'm just trying to bring up the halacha, and please judge me, you know, favorably as far as that is concerned. So I'd like to start with the following point, is that we're in a very, very difficult situation. Why? Because either way you could ruin someone's life, and sometimes you can ruin someone's, two people's lives. So if somebody has a terrible issue, if somebody has a terrible problem, let's say, somebody's got anger management problems, you're going to marry that man or that woman off and cover up that problem. They're going to have a terrible marriage. The person that they're going to get married to is going to suffer from their lack of ability to hold themselves back. It's going to suffer from their lack of ability to be able to conduct proper conversations and to be able to keep their emotions in check. Nobody wants to be married to a person who's constantly angry. Nobody wants to be married to a person who you never know when they're going to explode or when the next time they're going to have a tirade at you. That's not the way it goes. So not saying that is a real issue. Mitzad Hasheni, there have been cases where people have said things that they shouldn't have said. And because they said things that they shouldn't have said, what then ended up happening is that you said something that was either untrue, or you said something that was true 5 years ago. So this person 5 years ago might have had a problem with their anger. But they've been to psychologists, and they've dealt with it, and they've dealt with it properly, and they don't have the anger management issue anymore. And now if you say to somebody, well, they fly off the handle too easily all the time. Well, all the time is not true anymore. And they don't fly off the handle so easily anymore. And nobody's going to want to marry anybody who flies off the handle all the time. So what you ended up doing is you've ended up ruining this person's chances in Shidduchim, sometimes forever. So you say, how can I take such a responsibility to give the information? But you ask the question the other way around. How can I take the responsibility to not give the information? And so in both directions, it's a catch-22. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, you could ruin someone's life by holding back information. On the other hand, you could ruin someone's life by giving out the information. And so it makes it extremely difficult. To compound the issue is sometimes you won't have a chance to ask the question. And even just insinuating that you need to ask the question is already going to put things on the back foot. Excuse me. So, for example, somebody calls you up to ask you information on the shidduch, and they say, is this person a nice person? Yeah, they're a nice person. What about the middos? Are the middos good or the middos not good? And you're going to say to the person on the phone, I'm not sure what to answer you to that question. How about I call a rov, I'll get guidance, and I'll come back to you and I'll tell you the answer to that question. Well, you can imagine that whoever the person is that making the phone call is not going to be highly impressed. You know, but what was that supposed to mean? How can it be that you need to go and you need to ask a question, you need to ask, there must be something seriously wrong with it. No, there's nothing seriously wrong with it. I just need to ask a shayla what I can say, what I cannot say. So you're in a very difficult predicament. So what happens is sometimes you're going to be asked by friends whether or not they can put you down for information. So this is the better way to do things, by the way. If you are somebody who has a child in Shidduchim and want to ask somebody else to be a reference, a referee for you, what you need to do is you need to go to that person and you need to give that person advance warning, saying, my daughter, my son is now in Shidduchim, and we're putting together a resume for them. On it, it says, family friend, family Cohen, let's say, yeah, you know, Reb Yanko Cohen, please can I ask you to give that information for me? And then give the person the option or the ability to say, yes, I'm very happy to give that information. Or no, I'm not happy to do that information. I worry too much. Yeah. But then once you know already that family Cohen has asked you and you know that there is issue X, Y, and Z within that family, so now you can go back and you can ask your question to a rov and say, look, I've just been asked to be a reference for family Cohen, and I know there is issue X, Y, and Z. If it comes up, what am I allowed to say? What am I not allowed to say? What should I tell the prospective person? What should I not tell the prospective person? So you have the ability many times to preempt it by asking your shaylos beforehand. But sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Anybody who knows anything about checking into Shidduchim knows that if you call all the people that are on the list, all they're going to give you is good reports. That's why they're on the list. You don't take your enemies and put them on your Shidduch reference list. You take your best friends, you take the people that think highly and the greatest of you, and they go on your Shidduch list. You have to realize that that's not the only people you need to call. So you're calling somebody in Manchester, so you're not only calling the four people that are on the list of someone in Manchester, you're going to try to call another of that might know the family. You're going to try to call somebody that lives near them that you know. So you look at Chveis, they live on King's Road, they live on Water Park Road. So you'll call somebody on Water Park Road whom you know that lives three doors down the road. That is not a reference, and you'll try to find out from them. And so therefore, sometimes what could end up happening is you're going to be caught off guard by people calling you up and saying, can I ask you information about such and such a family? The next thing that I would say then is, okay, so if you're being asked questions about a specific family, if you don't know enough information, you should say that at the beginning of the phone call. Then say, I'm very sorry, there's nothing that I'm hiding, but I feel that if you want a clear picture about family X, I'm just not that friendly with them. I can give you very, very basic information, but anybody can give you very basic information. That's not really worth it. It's not worth your time. It's not worth my time. You want to be getting specific information from people that know the family well. So say that instead of making things up. But we're going to go, first of all, to people who are dealing with information. The first thing that I would say is, before you even get to the question of what can you say, what are you allowed to hide, et cetera, is that we make so many mistakes and we make so many assumptions about other people, assuming that their question means A. So I'll give you an example. Somebody will ask the question, is this boy a good bocher? Now, I will tell you that is this boy a good bocher is a very subjective question. So that depends who you ask the question to. If you're asking the masmid of the yeshiva, is this bocher a good bocher, and he says, yes, this bocher is a good bocher, so then you're getting one set of information. If you're asking the most geschmackste bocher, within the yeshiva, the guy that gets around, the guy that has all the friends, is he a good bocher? He'll have a different opinion. If you ask one of the magidish, he'll have another opinion. You know, ask one of the mashgichim, they'll have another opinion. So what do you need to do? So somebody asked you the question, and this is before you even get the question, can I say or can I hide, is he a good Baruch or not? So you say to the person, excuse me, can you explain to me what you mean? What are you asking me? What do you want to know? Is he a good bocher? What do you mean? Does he come to davening in yeshiva? Does he go davening in the shtiblech? Do you mean to ask, does he come to sedarim on time? Do you mean to ask how many hours within a four-hour seder he's learning? Do you mean to ask, is he one of the top bochim in the shir that he's in? He could be in a lower level shir, but could be considered the top bocher in that shir. What do you want to know from me? Instead of giving information willy-nilly, because what you end up doing is, sometimes you end up answering questions that you're not being asked.
Kol Halashon.
And sometimes you could ruin this person's prospect within a shidduch by saying something which is absolutely wrong, or which this person wasn't asking you for. And the other thing you need to always keep in mind, which we should have mentioned earlier, there's something the Nesilas Yerushalmi says, is a mishkal hachassidus. The Nesilas Yerushalmi says, whenever you're thinking about doing something and you think that you might be doing a mitzvah, you always have to weigh that mitzvah up connected what it is if you didn't do that mitzvah. Sometimes by holding back, the Gemara tells a famous story, it's brought in, Gemara in Gitna, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, about how Bakamta brought an animal from the Roman emperor to the Beit HaMikdash, and they were supposed to bring the animal. And the Avbez and Rav Zechariah said, no, they're not going to bring this animal because it's a Baal Mum. So they said, okay, then we need to kill Bakamta. So they didn't kill Bakamta either. And he says, that inaction, the Gemara says, was wrong. He was doing something as a chassidus. He said, yes, it was still a chassidus, but it was still wrong because the inaction caused the Churban Beit HaMikdash. So here too, inaction might not be the right answer as well. You have to realize that when you have the Mishkal HaChassidus to keep in mind also, somebody's asking, is he a good boy? You have to be very careful on the one hand to answer truthfully, and on the other hand, not to say something that's going to ruin this person's shidduch. And as well, the person who's asking the question should be asking specific questions. So let's try to give. I'm going to give very broad definition. The Chofetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Yud, Halacha Beis, gives you seven rules for Te'elis. Seven rules of when you can give out information that is Te'elis. And let's, first of all, with that, define Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is speaking badly to cause another person harm. That's the definition of Lashon Hara. And therefore, if you speak badly about someone else, but your plan or your intention is not to cause harm, your plan or intention is to save someone from a terrible situation, then that's not Lashon Hara. Then that's not Osir. So if somebody's asking you information about Shidduchim and Te'elis demands that you say something about the boy or girl that you're being asked about, because there's a terrible defect of it, there's a terrible issue, there's a terrible problem, it is not Lashon Hara to say so. And Fakir, you have a chiyuv to go ahead and to say so. So the rules of Te'elis are as follows. You can look them up yourself again, as I said, in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Yud, Halacha Beis. Number one, says the Chofetz Chaim, you have to have seen it yourself. You have to, if you're going to say that somebody has a bad temper, you have to have seen it. Can't just say, I know, I've heard. We'll get back to what we've heard secondhand. We'll get back to that soon, because a lot of the information you will hear is secondhand. But the first thing that you hear is that he says that you have to see it for yourself. That's number one. Number two, not only do you have to see the actual thing by yourself, you also have to have the correct interpretation of what you saw. Meaning, let's say a teacher asked a student to go into their office and to pull an envelope out of their drawer and bring it to them. And the student goes and he goes into the office, opens up the door, opens up the top drawer, goes in, picks out the envelope with the money, counts it, closes it, and goes back out. If you just were standing there watching this student, you would see a student walking into his teacher's office, opening up two or three drawers, taking out an envelope, counting the money, and sticking it in his pocket. You would say, yeah, there's a gunner. But unless you know the correct interpretation that this person has actually been asked by his Rebbe to do this or by his teacher to do that, you will come out with the wrong view of this person. And therefore, just because you saw it doesn't mean you understand it. So you have to, number one, you have to see it for yourself. And number two, you have to have the correct interpretation of what this is that he has done. Number three, you need to speak to that person first. Before you go ahead and before you're able to pass on that Lashon Hara to other people, you need to speak to that person. So let's say you know that that person has this issue of anger, as we mentioned before. You should go to that person and say, look, you really need to get this issue sorted. I know you put me as a reference on your shidduch resume, but I'm feeling very, very uncomfortable. And I need to tell you that I feel compelled to have to say something unless you go and you get yourself some form of help. But if you say that first and the person gets themselves the help, so then you don't have to tell other people that he used to have. You know that he did. But the first thing you need to do is see if you can sort the issue with the person themselves before you go and try to sort the issue or pass on the issue to anybody else. Number four, you may not exaggerate the issue whatsoever. Why? Because you cannot say, you know, he's the best book I've ever seen, or she's the worst girl that I know. She might not be the worst girl that you know. He might not be the best bocha that you've ever seen. It's all exaggeration. Say it as it is. The person has an issue, give over the issue as it is. You're not allowed to make the issue any bigger than it really is. It's not emes. And then, again, the te'elis goes out the window. The whole heter of te'elis is to go and to say to other people what it is that this person is at the moment. But you're saying more than that. So that's wrong. That's not te'elis, and that's not truthful. Number five, and this is also very important, and sometimes the most difficult, one of the most difficult ones over here, is that your kavanah has to be for te'elis. If you're going to pass on Lashon Hara about somebody else, or what isn't Lashon Hara, what is Lashon Hara le'te'elis, which probably is not Lashon Hara, but if you're going to pass on negative information about somebody else, you cannot derive any personal pleasure from passing on that, you know, that piece of information. You cannot be excited to tell people, oh, Hashem, I've never liked this guy anyway. I'm so happy I'm able to tell people that he's got an anger management issue. Because then that's not te'elis. Then there's a personal side to this whole thing. And once there's a personal side to this whole thing, it's not the pasha, that is mutter. It's probably awesome. So if you have to have kavanah for te'elis only. Number six, if you can find another way out of it, without having to give that piece of information, then you should do so. So let's say the boy has anger management problems. But there's another problem also. Let's say this girl wants a boy who's going to be in long-term learning, and this boy is not planning on being in long-term learning, right? Now, that is not a negative piece of information. Some people are in long-term learning. For some people, it's correct to be in long-term learning, and for some people, it's incorrect and fakert for them to say long-term learning is wrong. So to say that he is not going to be a bocher that's going to be learning long time is not a problem. That's not a piece of negative information. And therefore, let's say he's got the anger management problem. But you know that the shidduch is not shaykh because he's not a long-term learner and this girl's not a long-term learner. He's looking for a long-term learner. So therefore, you can say before you even get to the anger management problem, what you need to say to this person who is asking the question is, are you aware that this bocher doesn't seem to fit the profile of what you're looking for? You're looking for a boy who's going to spend 10 years in Kollel and Eretz Yisrael. This boy wants to go for a year, maximum 2 years, and he wants to come back home and start working. You're just not looking at the right kind of a bocher. Again, that's not negative information. Again, if you were to say that somebody's in long-term learning when he's not going to be in long-term learning, so then you're doing a disservice to the girl, you're doing a disservice to the boy, they're going to end up meeting, they're going to see each other and they're going to be like, by the way, why did I meet this person? Why did I waste my emotional energy and my time and my finances? I'm trying to meet somebody who's bichlal machayach. So you can't do that. But if you can find another way of getting out of it, so you say this is just the wrong shidduch for another reason, which is not Lashon Hara, then you don't have to and you're not allowed to say that he's got an anger management problem. What's the point in telling this person that this boy also has an anger management problem when in reality he's not shaykh because he just doesn't have the life goals that this girl has? So just say they don't have the same life goals and leave out that bit of Lashon Hara. The last one is a little bit complicated. It's the one that I've always struggled with the most. If you cannot cause a headache, that's greater than what would have been caused by Beis Din. That's the official one. Now, I don't know how that would apply properly to Shidduchim. It's something that's very complicated. But, you know, in the end of the day, if a person does have a terrible anger management problem, for example, again, we're giving this only as an example, there are many other issues. There could be physical issues, there could be psychological issues, there's some very, very serious issues out there. So then, if you say, well, you're going to cause this bocher never to get a shidduch again, yeah, but if this bocher's got an anger management problem and gets married, whoever he gets married to is going to be living through a living hell. We don't want that either. So I don't know where the line over there is. You should ask your personal Rav to get it straight. Now, what happens if you only have the information secondhand? That's a very important question, because much of the information you're going to have is only going to be secondhand. I've heard secondhand that this bocher gets very angry. I've heard secondhand that this bocher is not a very good bocher and is battling away the whole time, or sitting in his dira and watching things that he shouldn't be watching. So if you've heard that but you've not seen it, then are you allowed to say it? We just said the only rule for one of the rules of Teilus was that you've seen it yourself. So there still I've been, I remember when I spoke to Dan Weston, that's how he said, yes, you have to say it, but you can say, you have to say also that it's secondhand and you are not stating this as fact. I'm not stating a fact. Now, I have been told that he doesn't use his time as productively as he could, and he does things in his dira that maybe Bochum shouldn't be doing. I think you need to look into that further. I am not telling you that this is for sure the way it is. Please take this only as a flag and go further and do further checking out into it. You cannot leave it out, because if this bocher is taka bocher that's sitting in his dira the whole time and watching things they shouldn't be watching, then maybe you don't really want him marrying your daughter either. Or probably you don't want him marrying your daughter. But you can say, well, I'm not going to say it because I've not seen it myself. It's still a very important piece of information, but it must be passed on in the mutter dikur oifen. The last thing that I want to speak of, so that's what you can speak about. Now, when we speak about hiding, and here's a very important last nekuda that I want to speak about, as much as we'd like the shidduch crisis to end, but what good it is at hiding major issues? People say, well, yeah, we'll hide this, we'll hide that. So if it's something small that's going on in the family, mela. And if it's something you've got a second cousin that's sitting in jail, so what do you want? So you're going to hide that. So it's not my fault that my second cousin is not honest in his business. But amol, you're hiding serious things. Number one, what are you doing? You're creating no trust from day one in this relationship. They're going to get married, and suddenly they're going to find out, hey, I didn't realize my chosn has OCD, or that my kala is schizophrenic and takes pills to make herself normal. So then there's no trust. Already right in the beginning, you've broken the trust already between the chosn and the kala is paramount. And the Chosna Kala, specifically in the Haimish Kehilas, where they've not gone out for very long, where they've not really built up years and years of a relationship. And now they're coming together and they realize, hey, wait a second, you lied about everything that you are. So then that's going to create a tremendous issue. Number two, you have to realize, is that you could not only have a major issue on your hands, so let's say the child, Chas V'Shalom, has anger management problem, OCD, any other issue, in 6 months' time, you could have a single child, again, that has OCD and anger management problems, and is divorced now, and might even be a single parent. That's not better. So you say to yourself, I will hide the information, but by hiding the information, you could be setting up this child to tremendous failure. So don't set up your child to failure. Solve the issue instead. Try to solve the issue. And if it's an issue you cannot solve, then you have to be very honest with yourself and look at yourself in the mirror. And emes is usually the best way to go. You say, yeah, but shidduchim is not it's not an emesic process. But I have heard from my wife, who heard from her uncle, who's married off 13 children, can I know her, that after each shidduch, he found that things about the family, or he found that things about the boy that might have put him off the shidduch originally. But that's how it is. Look, in shidduchim, that's how we all have our deficiencies, we all have our problems, and we all have our issues. And therefore, emes is usually going to be a much, much better way of doing things than sheker. Sheker, a house that's built on sheker, you want to hide things, if they're small, mela. But if they're big, if you're hiding them, you're not doing yourself, you're not doing your child, or your potential mechutin any favors whatsoever. So in conclusion, what I'd like to say is, you need to have a clear idea of what's mutter to say, which as we said before with the definitions. Speak to your Rav, get a better information from them as well. Ask further questions, especially if you have children in Shidduchim or you're being asked constantly about people in Shidduchim. Ask Shilas if you approach to go on someone's resume before you go on the resume, and make sure that you know these halachas well, because these halachas are mamish halachas that could decide life and death. They are nefoshes for people in both directions. So, Mr. Hashem, I'd like to finish with that. Because Baruch Hu should help those should be zoicha to make many, many more shidduchim. Today is Tu B'Av. There are some beautiful initiatives out there. Please pick up the phone to someone and call them and tell them, I have a bocher that I know of. I have a girl that I know of that's stuck in shidduchim. And start the conversation. So many shidduchim are made by friends. So many shidduchim are made by people just having conversations and having discussions. That's one thing we definitely shouldn't hide. We shouldn't hide the fact that we have a problem that people, that boys and girls are sitting at home and are getting older and older and cannot get married. We should start the conversation. We should make this Tu B'Av different than all the other Tu B'Av. The Bochum are home now, sadly, for a longer stint, so you don't even have to rush the Shidduch in 3 or 4 days. You can do your information properly. You don't have to spend the money every time the boy's going to have to come in here and think about it 3 times over. You can do the information properly. Do what you have to do. Start and go out there and make boys and make girls happy, and with that you make the Rebbeinu Shalom happy. As we said, there was no Yom Tov like Yom Kippur, but Tu B'Av. Why? Because they made Shidduchim. Make that Yom Tov for Klal Yisrael today. Pick up the phone. Make one phone call and tell somebody, I know a bocher, or I know 2 boys, or I know 5 boys that are looking for Shidduchim. You might know some girls. Please, let's get together. Please, let's think about bringing together these boys and these girls. The Rebbeinu Shalom should help that we shouldn't have to hide anything, that we should have plenty to say, and we should have plenty of synthesis in the future. Amen to Amen. Thank you very much.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.